not free in Kenya, East Africa. As well as tuition fees, families must find money for uniforms, including shoes, textbooks, calculators, dictionaries, pens, pencils, and more. For poor rural families earning the equivalent of $2 to $3 a day, this is often an impossible challenge. Will you help educate bright, very poor Kenyan youth to help them find a road out of poverty for their families? Just $50 a month will allow that to happen. Gifts of smaller amounts can be combined to give youth a chance through KEEF, the Kenya Education Endowment Fund, a registered, BC-based, volunteer-run educational charity. Tax-deductible receipts are available. Donations make great gifts for Christmas, graduation, anniversaries, promotions, etc. Gift cards are available. More information at www.kenyaeducation.org or you can call us at 604-415-9397, day or evening.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 5th of January, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Shindig semifinals get underway on Tuesday night. We'll give you a preview on that. We'll meet Larice Campbell, director of Women at War, Women and War, a show that presents the war stories of generations of women told by a cast of young actors. And coming up in just a moment or two, local playwright and filmmaker Bohan Bridge tell you about his first full-length play about to open at the Redgate Review Stage. It's called Above the Hospital, and Bo is on the phone. We'll talk to him in just a minute. Plus, we'll fill you in on what's happening elsewhere in theater this weekend, our call board, and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local, independent theater, film, and music. And it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And on the phone right now is the man himself, Bohan Bridge. Hey, Bo.
Hello. Hey, how's it going?
It's going really well. How about you? How are you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Doing fantastic. Yes. I've had my coffee and
good.
I've had some sleep, I'd say, but feeling very awesome and very prepared.
Okay. So now this is your first play. The first play that you've written.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
My very first one, very first original play and original theater work.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
But you have written or done other stuff in theater before.
Yeah. Well, like I directed, yeah, I've like acted in a bunch of theater stuff, like a bunch of one acts in high school and some musicals.
Yeah.
But then, my first ever directing gig was last summer, for This Is Our Youth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then for a first original, like this is literally the first time. It's quite frightening. Yeah.
Yeah. It was actually This Is Our Youth was how we met.
Yeah,
because it was at the Backstage Lounge at the Cold Reading Series, and you were up there promoting This Is Our Youth, and I said, "Well, get on the radio, let's talk about it."
Yeah, and thank you so much, by the way, for that. Because like I also I remember last time I was supposed to come and in the studio, right? But then like something happened last minute, so I wasn't able to come in.
Yeah.
But then you ended up talking to Zach, and I listened to it, and the conversation was awesome.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm so happy that finally like we can actually talk now.
Yeah. All right. So Zach is in this play too. I forget his last name.
Zach Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah, good friend.
If I don't have it written down in front of me, and even if I do have it written down in front of me, it just disappears from my mind. All right, so let's talk about it. It's called Above the Hospital, and that's because it's about people who live in a little tiny apartment above a hospital.
I'd say yes, but I would definitely say they kind of build on it when it comes to the play. It's funny because it's not literally a hospital, but it's actually a clinic.
Yeah.
But then they refer to it as a hospital in a way, and so I'd say yeah. But it is about like a little couple, millennial, like lower class, and like fairly poor. They both have artistic aspirations, and they live in a tiny apartment above this clinic over on Main and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an experience we've all had. So.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that's a funny thing too, because I think like it's weird for this play. This is my first written work, and like I think every writer, when it comes to writing, like just like there's this nervousness about like will this really kind of like relate to other people, or like is it really worth like a story in a sense? And like the experience for this has been surprisingly very. Surprising to me as a writer, but also like because I've opened it up to a lot of collaboration and opinions, and it's been workshopped with other people, and like there's been a weird resonation with it, so I'm very excited to see what like the public thinks about it when they see it, because like it actually is surprisingly very like Vancouver specific and very kind of like relatable.
Well, I'm really intrigued by sort of the setup that you've got in here, and it's basically it's a pair of millennials, mid to early 20s, who have arrived in Vancouver with aspirations of getting involved in the creative community and sort of pursuing their dreams that way, and then and then the harsh reality of living in one of the most expensive cities in the world kind of take its toll.
Yes, precisely. Mm. Yeah. It's literally, and just kind of like, I think for those, like those what's called adversities that they end up facing are very specific to kind of like both Vancouver, I'd say in 2017, like there's like the social isolationism that I guess couples face who like move out, move from like other towns like Kindersley, like this couple, and they come here and they don't really relate to kind of like the cultural. But I think the biggest issue that they end up facing, which causes the conflict of this play, is literally the fact that like they can't afford to live here.
Yeah.
And like when it comes to like these artistic aspirations, of like Cameron wanting to be like this musician, like Dallas Green and stuff, and like this a girl named Lauren who's aspiring to be like a filmmaker. When it comes to like the realities of the situation, it starts taking a toll on them, and inevitably affects the relationship. And then this conflict suddenly rises, and it's kind of like is this really their fault, or like what is essentially going to happen with them? Like, will they end up giving up on their dreams, or is it better that they give up on their dreams? But then there's also like all these like secondary themes of just like, you know, how love serves as like a safeguard to these conflicts, and like the role of art in today's society, and whether it's actually useful in the face of like all these real events that are supplanting art itself, and even just like the role of the artists themselves. Like, what do they really serve? And is that really worth my calling type thing? Or like, is that really what I want to do?
Yeah.
And can I bring something worthwhile? Yeah. It's a lot of stuff. Sorry, I just kind of...
No, do not apologize. It's
very Canadian.
Yeah. No, it makes my job much easier if I just say, tell me about it, and off you go.
Oh, okay.
So don't tell me that
because I will go on for like an hour. Yeah.
Well, we have 51 minutes, so...
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'll just keep going then. Okay. Yeah, if that's okay with you. But yeah, like essentially, I would say in a nutshell, for people who probably don't want to listen to my annoying voice for 51 minutes, is just like, it's essentially a play that depicts the mid-20s life crisis within the context of like a low-class relationship that's built on artistic dreams and aspirations.
Right.
And
so,
like,
well, let me interrupt. Yeah. I just want to ask, I'm always intrigued by why, like why this story, why these characters, why did you choose to write this at this time?
It's very interesting because like the original idea came from a personal experience of mine that I had with a couple of friends where literally they are in a sense, essentially they were the couple that I met. One was an aspiring musician. The other was actually aspiring to go to nursing school. But the reason why I think inevitably I decided to do it now. And plus, aside from having the opportunity, which is kind of like the perfect timing, I think I have a lot of friends. And I think nowadays, when it comes to being in your 20s, almost all of them like have artistic aspirations. Like it's weird. Everybody has dreams, essentially, which is a cliche to say, but there's this weird phase that you get to when you're in your mid 20s, like 25, where suddenly you have a crisis and you start doubting yourself and kind of just like, what am I really serving by wanting to be a painter per se? And like, I know this sounds kind of like weird, because like, I essentially think art is very necessary for our society, and like, we will always need stories. Even though in relation to just like, are they really useful and compared to like, you know, real events like tragedies happening, and like, you know, would I serve a better purpose for society, but also like as a nurse instead of like a painter, because I'm actually like helping people, mm-hmm. you know? And like, I think I have a lot of friends and like I who have gone through this, and like, I think some of them have inevitably dropped out and just like, you know, decide to like settle for like an office job, which they say they're happy with, but like, you know, like, some of them are doing it without like not wanting to do it, but like they feel like they have to because they can't afford to live here. It's just too hard for them. And essentially they're finding like a lack of meaning now with what they want to do, because like, they don't think society needs it per se. Mm-hmm. So that's why I feel like this story is kind of like a now thing. And, but it's weird, cause I didn't time it that way, but then now it just seems very appropriate, and now it's actually happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes the story chooses you.
Yes, you know, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's important to tell this now. So you're at the Red Gate review stage on Granville Island.
We are, yes.
Yeah, and you get underway next week. January 12th is the official opening. Are you doing previews or anything like that?
Well, January 12th on Friday is technically our preview, but
right.
like we're going to treat it as an opening.
Yeah.
So like we're just going to say preview anyways, but yeah, like it our opening legitimately Saturday, but we start on Friday.
All right.
And then we go all the way. There'll be a show every evening, 7 p.m. until the 21st.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Just kick it off and keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks, man. Yeah. I hope you get to come see it too. Like I think, the thing about this play too, because like, even though like it's very specific to like the millennial, like a millennial characters in their 20s, for these themes, like I think like people who are older or younger will really find something that they can relate to, because like essentially it's all about like coming of age.
Yeah.
In this point,
like I said before, these are timeless stories. These are things we've all gone through, or yeah. are going yeah. through, or will go through, and they repeat throughout your life. So it's not necessarily age specific, but it is kind of a universal thing, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. You know, I think it's something a lot of people can relate to. Tell us a little bit about who's in the cast.
Oh, so like I have this. First of all, my cast is completely. I love them dearly. Like
yeah.
it's been insane because of them. I have this girl named Mira Mashmeyer, and she's from Calgary. Ironically, she moved to Vancouver, and she's playing the main lead of Lauren.
Right.
She was trained in New York Conservatory for the Arts, so she's very professional, and she's like doing this insane Justice's character. I'm really excited for what people have to see when it comes to her. And then I have this other guy named Tristan, who I found out of the blue at Vancouver Actors Guide. Studied at Vancouver Film School. He's well known for doing plays around here. Like he was in, I think, American Idiot mm-hmm. with Fighting Chance Productions. So he has like a musical background
yeah.
playing Cameron. And then I have my awesome supporting leads of Zach Curry, who's playing this like overzealous painter named Bohan Renders, who's like kind of like the best friend of Cameron, but also not. And then Nadia Debergorsky, who's playing his girlfriend, Abby Allaire, and then Emma Young and Aaron Paul Stewart, who are playing these characters named Michael and Natasha, respectively. And they all have these beautiful stories behind them.
Yeah.
Like, this is totally like an ensemble piece in the end. And it's like everyone's going to find like someone that they'll probably be favorites, I say. But like when it comes to like the general picture of it, it'll all kind of like in tune together. And it provides this like really, really beautiful ensemble like feel. And yeah, I'm really, really happy with my casting for this one.
Fantastic. All right. Tickets are at Brown Paper Tickets.
Yes.
It's called Above the Hospital. It's presented by Mid-20s Theater Society. And it's at the Red Gate review stage on Granville Island starting next Friday, January 12th. We've got a link to the Facebook page on the Dave Radio Facebook page. And so there you go, Bo.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations. Best of luck.
Oh,
hope it's a great start for you.
Okay, thank you so much, Dave. Yeah,
right.
I hope you can come see the show.
Oh, I hope to. I hope
awesome.
To. I'll be in touch to get my comps.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right,
yeah,
see you later.
You're already on the guest.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, so you still there? Yeah, you still there? Okay, thanks very much. That was fantastic. Well done. Yeah. Yeah, me too. Just keep me in touch with what you're up to, man, and we'll keep you on. All right, got to get back to the show. See you later.
Things get out tonight. Who is the gold? Who is the fool? Who digs the hole? And who is the tool?
Hi, Larice. Yes. We are just about to go on. I've got a song playing. It's got about 2 minutes left, so I'll let you listen to that, and then we'll go on the radio, talk about the show. Great. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Well, you better pack your things. Get out tonight. From the day they are born, so you got to get your ducks in a row, or else you pack your things and go. Cause if you want a friend, fuss and fight, yeah, you better pack your things, get out tonight. You got to get your ducks in a row, or else you pack. Things get out tonight.
That's Mark D'Souza from his latest release, a song called Ducks in a Row. It's 18 minutes after 12 o'clock. Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. And on the phone now is Larice Campbell. Hi, Larice.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Kind of a busy day for you today.
Very busy day for me today.
So thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Happy to.
You're directing a show called Women in War that's on at the Jericho Arts Center this weekend. And well, tell us a little bit about like where it came from, what's it about.
Perfect, yeah. So Women in War is there's two versions of it. There's a one-act version and a fuller-length version, and we're doing the one-act version, and we open at Jericho this evening. And the show is fictionalized looks at women's roles from all of the wars, from the Great War up to 9/11.
Wow.
And so sort of highlighting some of the stories that history has lost, both women who were out working in the forefront of the war and then those who were at home helping build ammunition or who were just keeping a house, keeping children, and the struggles that they went through as well.
So it's women who are at the front, but also women at home and how they were affected by it.
Yeah, and how they reacted to each other and how they related to their partners who are often away and unable to be gotten a hold of through correspondence and through mail. And so it's a lot of monologues and then some other work of stories or letters that they had sent back and forth to loved ones or to family members.
So is that where a lot of these stories came from? Was from personal letters? Or?
From personal letters, yeah. And then they were fictionalized. Mm-hmm. But yeah, from personal letters. From all of the wars, and it's really interesting and intimate look at what went behind the scenes. We often see the glamorized war machine look at war in shows and in movies, but this is sort of the personal intimate stuff.
Yeah, we did a project here a few years ago. Are you familiar with Barry Broadfoot and his book Six War Years?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, we did readings from that book, and there were a lot of the women's stories were involved. There was one about a young widow with small children and having to travel from Alberta to Vancouver to get in touch with her brother, and there was another story about a woman who worked in munitions factory and a woman who was a frontline nurse, and just, you know, the a lot of those similar stories. So it's it's really, because it really is. War is a man's world, and we forget about how it affects the women and the families that are involved.
That are fighting. And, you know, it was one of the stories that, you know, really interests me in the show is the idea of in World War II, the Donut Gals, and they were often in more harm's way going out and serving coffee and donuts to the soldiers than the soldiers were.
Yeah.
And yet they weren't classified as soldiers. They didn't have the same protection. Yet they were often putting their own lives at just as much risk, if not sometimes more so, without any of the credit behind it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they probably wouldn't have had the same kind of training to deal with that situation.
Absolutely. They just went for it. And I love, you know, finding those sort of hidden gem stories.
Yeah.
I love that about the show, that it's kind of bringing us to the forefront and we get to remember sort of some of the things that we might not have known happened.
Mm-hmm. You've got a unique cast putting this together, too. These are all high school students.
They are all teenagers, absolutely. Yeah. So they range from between 14 to just turned 19.
Yeah.
And they bring a new, fresh voice to it. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I chat about the show to other people and they think, well, can, you know, 14-year-olds or 15-year-olds handle this sort of material? And I think, well, oftentimes we forget that it was really young people who were being drafted or 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds signing up for their ROTC to go and help out. And so, yes, it might seem for us a little bit more foreign or removed that a young person would be telling these stories, but it feels very multi-generational and very real for them and I feel like the audience as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And there were people even younger, like, you know, 16, 17-year-olds lying about their age so they could sign up.
They could sign up, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it fits that we've got a young group, but we have a young group not only as a cast, but also behind the scenes. So our stage manager is a teenager. Our sound operators just come out of his teens. They've all sort of banded together to really make this their own. And they love learning all aspects of putting together a show. You know, we've got one actor who I think has got maybe a career as a producer because he definitely loves to get his hands in all of the business side of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Hang on to him.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't let him go.
Yeah, that's right. So they really made this their own, not only on stage, but off stage as well.
Yeah. Terrific. All right. So, let's sell some tickets then. You're at the Jericho Arts Center. You've got what? Three shows?
Three shows. Yeah. Tonight at 8 PM, Saturday at 2 PM matinee and an 8 PM, Saturday show as well.
Mm-hmm. And, we've got the Facebook page linked on the Dave Radio Facebook page, but where can people get tickets?
They can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com. Just search Women and War, as well at the door. We're opening up at an hour before showtime just to make sure everyone can get a seat.
Yeah. Great. Well, have a great run, thanks for taking some time to talk to us about it.
Thanks so much for having me, Dave.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take care.
I'm going away. Look into my eyes.
All right. Great. Thank you very much.
Last Sunday of every month.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
With me at the Wise Hall, please. Wise Hall, please.
Tired? Tired of begging for rides from your friends?
Bobby, I don't have time to take you to the soda shop again this week.
Lugging those groceries on the bus got you in a sweat?
Man, oh man, these bags of salt sure are hefty.
Being on campus without a car ain't easy, so check out Zipcar and get wheels when you want them. Join now to get your membership for only $20 at zipcar.ca/UBC.
Nikkei National Museum's Hastings Park 1942 exhibit marks the 75th anniversary of Japanese-Canadian internment. Visit the exhibit until January 13th to see Japanese Problem, a contemporary performance piece which offers a glimpse into a dark episode of history at the Pianese Livestock Barn. Nikkei National Museum is located in Burnaby and entry is by donation.
You've tried. You've talked.
We know it's not always easy to speak up.
That's where we come in.
We're the Ontario Child Advocate.
And we're here to amplify your voice.
If you're a young person
and you're not getting what you need, contact us. Whether you're seeking information about your rights or have questions about decisions being made about your life,
the Ontario Child Advocate can help you.
Contact the Ontario Child Advocate at
416-325-5669 or visit our website,
ontariochildadvocate.ca.
Ontario. I'm sure there's a BC one too. You'll find them. Hey, it's Shindig time once again. We starting a new year, so we're getting to semifinals. It's Shindig 34. 34 years of presenting the best in brand new local bands to you. Shindig happens every Tuesday night at Pat's Pub, or the Hastings Mill Brewing Company at Hastings and Dunleavy in the fabulous downtown east side. It's only $6 to get in, and you get to see some of the best local music that's available these days. Like we said, we've had the first round, and so we've got 9 semifinalists. So for this week, next week, and the third week, the 9th, the 16th, and the 23rd, you'll see the semifinalists battle it out for the chance to make the big finale on Friday, February 2nd. Lots of great prizes, lots of great fun, jokes for beers. And the Hastings Mill Brewing Company is they got lots of all kinds of great craft beers on tap. So And tasty food, too, so you can make an evening of it. Doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8:30. The bands this week are These Guy, KMVP, and Board Decor. Now, we've gone through and found some samples for each of them. Board Decor doesn't have much released. They've got, let's see. Well, they've got this thing here. Maybe that's up. No, they only got one piece. It's, oh no, sorry, I'm wrong. They have a new release, but it's a Christmas song. You don't want to hear that. Let's hear this instead. It's called OK GB.
Madness is a broken book. Left abandoned. Thank you.
talk to me, understand your flaws. I see the truth, you do your best to just ignore. That's what I'm here for. Everything you feel to be an unspoken truth about the world. It's subject to change and be completely written off within the terms and conditions you read. Agree to ourselves, it's on the internet. Full stop, comma, the end.
So you go, that's these guys. And we also heard from KMVP and Board Decor, who are all going to be performing for you Tuesday night at Pat's Pub for the first of three Shindig semifinal nights. You don't want to miss it. You know, we have this art gallery here on campus. It's the Morris and Helen Belkin Art Gallery. And they have got a fascinating installation that's opening up this week. It's called Glut. And it's, let me see, let's give it here. Glut is concerned with language depictions of women, of the woman reader as an artistic genre and potential for stuff. that was good. Here we go. Beginning with the 70s, Glut is the first of four exhibitions based on the Belkin Art Gallery's research project investigating the 1970s, an era when social movements of all kinds, feminism, environmentalism, LGBTQ rights. Did I say that right? I'm always confused if I'm saying this right.
LGBTQ.
That's right. LGBTQ rights, access to health services and housing. They all began to coalesce into models of self-organization that overlapped with the production of art and culture. And so this is a whole series of things that are going to be going on throughout the year. Well, at least throughout the first half of the year from now until the 8th of April. And it starts with an opening night reception on Thursday night. And it's from 6 to 9 p.m. There, Alexandra Bishkoff will moderate a discussion within her installation of Rereading Room. And speakers include Janine Mitchell, founding member of the Vancouver Women's Bookstore. And I think I used to do news with her at Co-op Radio. I don't know. And Stephanie Dufresne, who runs a feminist bookstore in Montreal. And this will be a casual conversation to consider the feminist bookstore movement, past and present, with audience Q&A and stuff to follow. So there's installations, there's discussions, there's readings, there's all kinds of stuff going on. If you want to find out more, you go to belkin.ubc.ca, and Belkin is spelled B-E-L-K-I-N. We've got some other stuff going on this weekend. There's a show happening at the Havana tonight. It's called Fistful of Kicks. It's an improvised kung fu spectacular. Mashing up all your favorite martial arts movies of yesteryear, the show will bring you all of the hard-hitting fight scenes together with their signature epic storytelling for one hell of a show. Some of the best Asian-Canadian improvisers in Vancouver have joined forces to create a night of theatrical improv like no other. It's one half comedy, one half kick-assery, one half adventure for three halves of amazing show that you won't want to miss. And as Confucius say, he who conquers himself is the mightiest warrior. He said that after he accidentally slammed his finger with the door. So it's tonight at the Havana, starting at 10:30. You can get tickets at Eventbrite, and it's also on the Facebook page. And there's lots of other stuff going on here. There's the old Christmas stuff is still kind of wrapping up. The kids' shows are still happening. Carousel Theater's production of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe closes this weekend at the Waterfront Theater in Granville Island. Also closing this weekend are Metro Theater's Panto Cinderella and the East Van Panto at the York Theater, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. All of those are running until tomorrow, and then until Sunday, pardon me. And then there's 1 week left of Beauty and the Beast at the Stanley Theater. That closes on the 13th of January. Couple of things coming up. There's a show starting on Tuesday. We're going to talk more about it next week because I'm going to go see it. It's called Hot Brown Honey. It's a group from Australia. Hot Brown Honey turns up the heat, delivering lashings of sass and a hot pinch of empowerment in the smash hit that took the Edinburgh Fringe by form. Packing a punch of hip-hop politics, the Honeys will make you laugh, cry, clap, shake your hands, and all that other stuff. So that's happening at the York Theatre starting next week on January 9th. So check out the Panto and then go see Hot Brown Honey. And there was one other thing that I wanted to make sure we wanted to tell you about. Oh, yes, yes, the David Bowie tribute. It's the third annual. Yeah, it's already been 2 years since David Bowie left us. And the David Bowie tribute, Let's Dance, has become a huge success. And so they keep doing it. Raising money to the BC Cancer Foundation. It's only $10 to get in. If you buy an advance ticket, $15 at the door. That's a blue one and a purple one. There will be dance party stuff, music by Flip Out from Virgin Radio. And Trevor Risk is doing his Motown party. Iconic music and art and stuff. That's at the Fox Cabaret. That is Saturday night, tomorrow night, starting at 10 o'clock on Main Street and 7th Avenue. And we're going to do one more because I really wanted to get this one out. This is the Passion Portal. It's an Enchanted Forest party at the Hindenburg, which is in Gastown. And it's a multi-room Enchanted Forest theme party full of sensual and electric dance vibes galore, showcasing 25-plus local DJs and producers with circus, magic, and dance stage performances, along with special and unusual party services to ignite inspiration within many wonderful and overlapping communities, presented by Restricted Entertainment and Cosmic Kitty. It's only $20 to get in for that one. That's the green one with the lady's face on it. And anyway, it's at the Hindenburg, 23 West Cordova Street, tomorrow night, starting at 9 o'clock, the Passion Portal Enchanted Forest Party. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and then come back with the call board.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire, Cheetos, fleece material, and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute. Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute. You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
Am I wrong?
Man, they were nihilists, man.
Huh?
They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Nihilists.
The Great Escape from Nihilism, Rediscovering Our Passion in Late Modernity by Dr. Gordon E. Karkner involves a journey out of the prison of contemporary nihilism and into a meaningful life trajectory. Rooted in the work of Canadian premier philosopher Charles Taylor, this book is a relevant read for students and faculty. You can find it at the UBC or Regent bookstores.
Who's the f***ing nihilist around here, you bunch of f***ing crybabies?
And now, for our more dreadful sacrifice.
The music you're listening to is completely electronic.
Only a fool would ignore this.
I'd like to demonstrate for you some of the rather more weird kinds of sounds.
See how relaxed you're getting?
Every Sunday night at 7 o'clock here on CITR 101.9 FM is More Than Human, your weekly guide to all that is new, weird and wonderful in the world of electronic music. So please join me, Gareth Moses, for electronic music old and new, inane comments, and the occasional sacrifice. More Than Human on CITR.
With
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
And we were talking about the David Bowie thing at the Fox tomorrow night, and tonight the Rio, you just heard the Rio promo there, they are running one of the great David Bowie movies from the 80s. It's Labyrinth. And that is happening tonight at the midnight show. Let me see. Does it have the official start time? Doors open at 10:45. Movie starts at 11:15. If you are in costume, it's $8, or you can come as you are and just pay $10 to see it. It's a Jim Henson movie. So there's Muppets and David Bowie as the Goblin King. So you don't want to miss that. And then as well as the dance party at the Fox, there's also the David Bowie Ball, which is at the Rickshaw Theater tomorrow night. And that's also that is also raising money for the Canadian Cancer Society. And let's see, who is going to be there? They don't tell us. They don't tell us. Over 20 local bands, though. It just says 20 local bands. So there you go. You want live music, you go to the Rickshaw. You want DJs and stuff, you go to the Fox. So lots of David Bowie partying going on tomorrow night. All right, now it is time for the Dave Radio Callborg, featuring auditions and calls for crews and extras and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Starting off with the Abbotsford Children's Theatre doing The Secret Garden. By Frances Hodgson Burnett. That is going to be happening in April in Abbotsford. The auditions are this weekend, tomorrow at the Abbotsford Arts Centre. Looking for actors between the ages of 10 and 18. So look at abbotsfordchildrenstheatre.org to get the details on that. Theatre in the Country in Langley is doing The Hunchback of Notre Dame, a musical by Stephen Schwartz, Alan Menken, and Peter Parnell. And that's happening in May in Langley. The auditions are on the Saturday and Tuesday, the 9th, yeah. And that's at the Friends Langley Vineyard Church. You can go to theaterinthecountry.com for more information on that. Our friends at Applause Musicals and Concert are putting on another another show. Applause is a great organization. They put on musicals that don't often get seen, especially around here, partially because of restrictions around staging or casting or, you know, other things where it's either a big cast production or it takes a lot of elaborate scenes and costumes and stuff. It just becomes expensive to do as a full-on production. So the Applause Musicals and Concert presented as kind of an on-book concert version. And the show they're doing this time around, it's called Do I Hear a Waltz? It was written in 1965, music by Richard Rodgers of Rodgers and Hammerstein, but lyrics by Stephen Sondheim. So one of his first musicals. Do I Hear a Waltz is going to be presented in March. And the auditions are happening on this weekend, on Sunday, January 7th, and that's in the West End. Looking for specifically men and women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s. But if you can carry a tune and do a song, they'll love to hear from you. So if you want to know more, you can look up applausemusicals.com or go to their email address is applausemusicals@yahoo.ca. Vagabond Players in New Westminster doing Amy Herzog's 4,000 Miles in April, directed by Dale Kelly. The auditions are this weekend at the Bernie Legg Theatre, vagabondplayers.ca for more information on that. Fabulous Theatre doing Once on This Island by Lynn Ahrens and Stephen Flaherty. It's loosely based on the Hans Christian Andersen story, The Little Mermaid. It's going to be at the Redgate Review stage on Granville Island in April. The auditions are Sunday at in New Westminster at 50 Lawrence Street. I think that's the Anvil Center. Looking for a cast of 10 to 15 performers to play a variety of roles of all ethnicities, gender identities, ages, and abilities. So send your headshot and resume to fabulistauditions@gmail.com. Theater in the Raw, Jay Hamburger and his great group on Commercial Drive, they are doing Arthur Miller's Incident at Vichy. And this is a pretty serious play. It's about collaboration during the Second World War. It's going to be happening in April at Studio 16 at 7th and Granville. The auditions are happening this weekend and next at their rehearsal studio on Commercial Drive. They are looking for primarily men, but women are possible for a few roles. Age range is quite broad. Anyone between the ages of 19 and 70 are looking for folks. So go to theaterintheraw.ca, or you can email j@theaterintheraw.ca to find out more about that. We got the Langley Players Club doing Blood Relations by Sharon Pollock, a psychological thriller based on the story of Lizzie Borden, who took an axe and gave her father 40 whacks. That's happening in May at the Langley Playhouse, and the auditions are Sunday the 7th and Thursday the 11th at the Langley Playhouse. Looking for three men and four women, and you can contact the Langley Players Club to find out more about that. Theater Terrific, which is a terrific theater company, by the way. They're doing the Elder's Voice Project. And this is a collaborative effort between the community and the cast. It's going to be happening at the Louis Breyer Home, which is a senior's residence at 41st and Oak Street. And that's going to be happening in March. So they're doing their auditions at the Green Thumb Studios Tuesday night. The Green Thumb is located next to Collingwood Elementary School at Kingsway and Joyce. They're looking for 4 to 6 actors of all cultures, genders, and abilities to take part in this project. They're seeking to build relationships and respect and connections between elders, family, friends, and the younger generation of all cultures and abilities by sharing stories, memories through movement, voice, gesture, music, poetry, and song to create a performance collage. They seek artists who can work with inclusive casting, are committed and willing to collaborate with those who may be different, are adventurous, generous, and open to unique methods of theater creation. Sounds like a great project and something that would be definitely worth putting some time and effort into. You can find out more by going to theaterterrific.ca. We've got the Fraser Valley Gilbert and Sullivan Society, FVGSS, doing Gilbert and Sullivan's Iolanthe, directed by Jacqueline Keith. That's happening at the Anvil Center in New West in May. The auditions are on January 11th and 14th, and you can check them out. Look up FVGSS to find out more information. Theater Under the Stars is doing their auditions for their other summer production. They've already done, what was the other one? I don't know. Forget now. Rodgers and Hammerstein. Wasn't it Cinderella? Anyway, they're doing 42nd Street. That's the one that's happening now. And it is auditioning next weekend, January 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th for a production that's going to be at Malcolm Bowl in July and August. So go to tuts.ca, T-U-T-S.ca, and check out their audition information to get all the details on that one. Robert McQueen is the director for 42nd Street. United Players of Vancouver doing Enron by Lucy Preble, directed by Brian Parkinson. Production happening in March. Auditions on Sunday, January 14th at the Jericho Arts Center at the foot of Discovery Street. Deep Cove, Stage Society, doing Camelot, John F. Kennedy's favorite musical, directed by our friend Shalene Scott. And that's happening in June. Auditions are on January 21st at the Deep Cove Shaw Theater in North Vancouver. DeepCoveStage.com has all the details on that one. We've got Dusty Foot Productions doing Probability by Trisha Trinth, and this is going to be part of the Up in the Air Revolver Festival, which is happening in May at the Kulch. The auditions are February 6th, 8th, and 13th. At the Unity Yoga Studio on Commercial. They're looking for three females. Actors of all ethnicities, gender identities, and abilities are encouraged to submit. The play is about two women who meet after midnight on a quiet Tuesday night, and they play out the five different paths in which their relationship could venture. Probability. So look out for that one. If you want to know more, go to dustyfootproductions.com. And finally, for the kids, Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance, doing Back to the Future by Perry Ehrlich. That's the summer workshop series in July and August. And if you want to know more about that, they're looking for anyone between the ages of 9 and 19 who want to sing, dance, act, and perform. And just go to theimpresario.ca. And if you want details on these or any other audition notices, you can go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we are here for you. Send us your details to Dave Radio Facebook, DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. And if you missed any or all of today's show, you want to relive glorious moments from the past, you can check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. We've got lots of great programming coming up this afternoon, and don't forget at 3:30, it's Napkin Boy with Nardwar the Human Serviette Presents. The Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye, Jim.
place to be some ass when it just seems right. And if she asks me nicely, I might kiss that ass all night. I'm a walking, talking, fertile man. I'm over 50, but I do the best I can. I'm looking good. I got some morning wood. My hair is perfect and it's perfectly understood that I'm a walking, talking, fertile man. Walking, talking, fertile man. Walking, talking, fertile man. Walking, talking, fertile
going man, but I try to understand.